for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, July the 8th, 2018. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on what is the will of God.
Praise God. What is the will of God? Lord, thank you for your mercy, your tender loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Praise God. Lord, we're so unworthy. So unworthy. That's why you're a mighty God. Praise God. Who is man, Lord, that you would consider him? Thank you, Lord. Praise God, Lord. Praise God. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would be upon us and anoint us. And Lord, I don't want to say one word that you don't have for me to say. But I want to say everything you have for me to say. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Praise God. What is the will of God? Acts 21:10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And coming into us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. That's exactly what happened. When we heard this, we and the people there urged Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now he didn't die in Jerusalem, but he was willing. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, The will of the Lord be done. The will of the Lord be done. I can't stress enough the importance of that. The will of the Lord be done. Can't stress it enough. Yet for the most part we go through our life doing what we want to do. When we want to do it, how we want to do it, where we want to do it. And then asking God to bless it. What is the will of God? What is meant when we say the will of God? The will of God means the purpose of God. The desire of God, the intention of God, the plan of God, the predetermination of God. The will of God is the essence of God. It is what He is. Essence means the basic, the real, the invariable nature of God, or God's significant individual feature. The invariable nature of God. James 1:17 says, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's will never changes. And the will of God is the image of Christ. And it never changes. But His image, the image of Christ, remains the same forever, from everlasting to everlasting. So what is the will of God? I want to show you through the Scripture. The will of God is the image of Christ. Malachi 3:6 says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The will of God is not flexible or changing according to the current times, trends, or culture. You know, I've heard some say when they begin to change the way people worship and the message they preach and so forth, and they say, well, the methods change, but they don't change. Because God's methods are part of His message. They say the message never changed with the methods. No, His methods are part of His message. He still says it's through the foolishness of preaching. But the problem is that people have found that ministers, organizations that people don't want to hear that message. And they think by changing or tweaking it some way or making it more palatable that people will listen. But the thing is, if they won't hear that gospel, let them go. If they won't hear it the way God wants it presented, let them go. If you get them by changing the method or the message, you've got nothing. They're still what they were. Only the truth makes people free. Nothing else does. The will of God is not flexible. It's not changing. It does not change. The will of God does not change to fit anyone's agenda. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet He, God, remains faithful, He cannot deny Himself. If we don't believe the will of God, if we don't believe the image of Christ, the purpose of God, which is the purpose of God, still God remains faithful to what He is. He will not change to accommodate us. I'm telling you, a lot of church organizations, ministries are going to answer to God for changing things. They're going to answer to God. The will of God is His essence. He cannot and will not deny His essence, meaning His person, His will, His image, even if all men do. The ultimate, the eternal will of God, the intention of God, the plan and purpose of God is apprehended in His predetermination or predestination concerning His creation called mankind. Men can preach that Christ is this or Christ is that, or that the will of God is this or the will of God is that. But God remains faithful to what He is and to what His will is. The Apostle Paul wrote it in these words. He said, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:12. God's eternal will is to apprehend us, those who will. But what is His purpose in apprehending us? We must apprehend that for which God is apprehending us through His Son. And it's only through His Son. Or we've missed it all. If we miss this, we've missed everything. The ultimate eternal apprehension of the will of God is not fulfilled in man's salvation. Some think it is. It's not in healing. It's not in deliverance. It's not in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not in our best life now. It's not in our comfort, our success, our wealth, or even our going to heaven when we die. God's ultimate, eternal will of God is that we apprehend Christ. From the foundations of the world, that's been the will of God. When we say apprehend God, we have to understand what that is, and we'll explain it as we go along. It is, unless we're changed into the image of Christ. We have not apprehended Christ. You can't apprehend, no one can apprehend Christ outside of the image of Christ, the person of Christ, being changed to that image. We're not going to apprehend something of our own thinking, our own opinions, our own doctrines. It will be what God says it is. Unless we're changed in the image of Christ, Christ has not apprehended us. And therefore we've missed the ultimate and the eternal will of God. Does it matter if we miss the ultimate and eternal will of God? Can't we just find the will of God in our daily living? Or in our apprehending of possessions or wealth or health or ministry or success in life, etc. And let that satisfy God when we stand before Him in judgment. Remember, they said this, Lord, we cast out devils in Your name. We did many mighty works in Your name. Won't that do? He said, no. He would not accept that. He said, because, I'm getting ahead a little bit, but He said, because you are workers of iniquity, you're lawless concerning the image of Christ. You mean your own boss. You run your own thing. Nothing else matters in this life. Nothing else we say or do will count in this life toward eternity if we miss God's ultimate and eternal purpose of apprehending Christ. Again, apprehending Christ is all bound up in us coming into the image of Christ. Christ is not something over here and we're something over there. And we just go our two separate ways through eternity. That's not going to happen. In fact, in John chapter 17, Jesus said, tells us the will of God is that we become one. But He's not becoming one with us. We have to become one with Him. He's not changing for us. It doesn't work that way. Never has, never will. That's why He said, few there be that find it. Oh my God, think of it, folks. There's so many people sitting on church pews, and it seems like there's less and less. So many that are going to miss it altogether. Because church has been made out to be something for man. For the will of man, for the good of man, for the benefit of man, for the needs of man. It's all about man. Man-centered. They even teach you find a need in your community and fill it. And that's what your purpose is. No, it's not your purpose. It's not the purpose of God or the house of God. I'm going to tell you, church is not about us. It has to be about Him. It's not about your needs or my needs. You look in Acts chapter 13. It says, they ministered unto the Lord. They weren't there to be ministered to. They came to minister unto Him. When we sing songs that all have to do with us and things being better for us and things improving for us and God doing things for us and oh, how happy and... No, that's not what it's about. Let me tell you something. It's either His way or it's the highway. Not the highway we want to be on. Nothing else matters. We can only apprehend Christ by our being transformed into His image. And it's not our idea of what His image is. The Holy Spirit only can reveal to us the image of Christ. No one else can. You can sit in discipleship classes till you turn blue, till you die, till moss grows on you or whatever. I need to say this here. No man can teach you Christ. That's very plain. First John. He said, you have an unction from the Holy One. That's an anointing. And you need no man to teach you. Now, we can preach Christ, Him crucified, which is what we're to be preaching. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But yet you hear everything else in the house of God. It's supposed to be the house of God. We can preach Christ, but we cannot teach Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can teach Christ. You'll never know Christ by what I preach to you or anyone else. The Holy Spirit has to reveal that to us. I can hopefully whet your appetite, but I can't do that. I cannot teach you Christ. You know what? I'm struggling to get there. I'm being taught. You know, I don't know it all. You don't know it all either. But the Holy Spirit sure does. If I was teaching you Christ, I might shovel out too much at one time or not enough. Or I might focus on one thing or the other. The Holy Spirit does it perfect. Perfect, praise God. Shame on us for trying to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Unless we're changed in the same image of Christ, unless Christ is formed in us, these are all scripture now. Unless we grow up into Christ in all things, unless we come into the full measure of the stature or the likeness of Christ, we have missed what God purposed for us. We have missed the will of God, and we will be rejected. And we will hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity, are you lawless ones? To be lawless is one thing. It's to be other than Christ. That's iniquity. That's lawlessness. And sin's another thing, okay? In Matthew 7:21, not everyone, Jesus speaking, that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name we cast out devils. In your name done many wonderful works. Lord, look at this big church I built for you on the main intersection in town.
Lord, look at all the finances we've given to missions. Look at all the good social work we've done in this town. He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Let me tell you something. The church is not there to meet the social, economic, or any other kind of needs of the community. The world has told us we need to do that. That's not to say we can't help people. That's not to say that our church, there's a young lady in our church that was going to work and it was dark, hit the cow, totaled her car, and they won't pay for it. She had another vehicle that's been sitting for maybe 2 years because the motor was messed up on it. And we took that, went and got it, paid to have it if we couldn't get it. Took it to the shop that's there now, and we're going to fix that for it. That's right. But that's not what we're there for. I mean, other organizations do that. And when you're helping people, it's your brethren you're supposed to help. I've got myself too much trouble with that. We had that Shiloh house, brought people out from under the bridges in different places, and all they do is steal from you, argue with you. It's not pretty. You know what I did? I read into that what I thought it should be. Be careful. That's another thing. God gives you a word. Don't fill in the blanks. Because He doesn't tell you everything. He'll tell you what you need to know right then, but He'll tell you just enough that it makes you hang in faith, waiting upon Him. Don't run out and do something for Him because He's not moving fast enough. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You know, that's, well, people read that and just pass right over it. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Should we pass over that? You know, people are writing their own Bible, making their own doctrine, the one that fits them, the one they like. What's their Bible look like? It only has the verses in there that they like. To work iniquity is simply to not do the will of God, which is lawlessness in the sight of God. And the will of God is the image of Christ, the person of Christ, being formed in us. Often we major on small things of life in thinking of doing God's will. Is it God's will for me to go to Walmart today? Well, I believe God's will is, you know, involved in our daily affairs. But we major on that while we overlook the big thing, the major thing, which is that we must deny our image and come into the image of God's Son. That's the major thing. That's what's got to be going on. If that is happening in our life, a lot of other things, little things, will fall into place. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory, that's the revelation of the Lord, speaking of Christ, are being changed or transformed into the same image from glory to glory, or revelation to revelation, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what's supposed to be happening in all of our lives right now. Daily being changed, transformed by the Holy Spirit. As we're beholding Christ. Let me tell you this. We become what we behold. You know that. They say you become what you eat, but we become spiritually. Our soul becomes what we behold. If you take, for instance, children that are brought up on violent video games, they're going to become that violent. Not everyone that sings church songs or talks about the Lord or does wonderful works for the Lord is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who have done the will of God will enter heaven. It's His heaven, and He gets to decide who enters. You're not going to crash His gates. St. Peter's not going to be there waiting for you. You can argue with him and negotiate with him. You know, I've told this, but I preached a funeral for a man one time. It's a great size, a large crowd. He was a painter. I didn't know him, but his family had asked me to because he didn't have a preacher, meaning he didn't go to church. So I preached the funeral. I didn't preach him in heaven, and I didn't preach him in hell. I just preached Christ. When I got through, the funeral director was very disturbed. because I didn't do a good job of putting him in heaven. So he took over for me. And he said he was a good old boy. He painted the funeral home. Well, let's all go find a funeral home to paint. You know, if that's what it is. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God. We're trying to answer here, as God helps, what is the will of God? This is the will of God, even your sanctification. What is sanctification? It means to be set apart unto God. What does being set apart unto God look like? What does it look like? Oh, there's many doctrines been written on that one. Church creeds. What does it look like? Looks like long hair on the women. Long sleeves. Long dresses. You know, I grew up in a time if you wore open-toed shoes, you were going to hell. I remember the first time a woman walked in the church, the Assembly of God church, had pants on. The whole church almost fell out. It wasn't the spirit. That was what we thought was sanctification, what we were taught. It's interesting that the women are the one that were the object of that whole thing, you know. It's interesting, isn't it? Maybe it's because men wrote the rules. What does being set apart look like? It looks like the image of his son. Not some doctrine that man conjures up. Listen, any doctrine that does not point to the image of Christ, the person of Christ, is a doctrine of devils. Created. Maybe they didn't know what they were doing. But they did know. That's another subject. Created for the purpose. Look, Jesus said, he told the religious leaders, you're keeping people out of heaven. You're standing in the way. And a lot of these doctrines, that's exactly what they're about. Amen. Only in this sense, are they keeping people from the image of Christ, the person of Christ. If we go and sit in a church meeting for 2 hours, and Christ is not the center of that service, everything in it, you understand what I'm saying? Then we have kept people away from Christ. Everything that we read, listen to, that we sing, everything has to be centered on Christ. Not on you or on me. Not on what I want, not on my needs, my hurts, all that kind of thing. Get to Christ and all that will be taken care of. Seek you first the kingdom of God, the government of God, and His righteousness, which is Christ, and all these things will be added unto you. But we go after the symptoms, the peripheral things. Any smart pastor knows how to get people there. Do something that makes people feel good about themselves and their future. Let me say that any false prophet knows how to get a crowd. Just tell everybody something good. You are going to be blessed out of your socks. That'll get them. Oh, praise God. It got me one time. I had a serious question. I needed an answer from God. I was listening to the radio. And they said, come, you'll get a word from God. I went. I thought the man was preaching, but what he said is taking the offering. And the place was packed, folks. It was packed. It was a huge place. It was packed. And at that point, he's working on the people that for $500, you could have a word from God. Then he worked his way down. This is like an hour and a half. Finally got down to $5 people. You only get a $5 word. Then finally he said, if you don't have any money, God still has a word for you. So I said, okay. Raised my hand. He comes over there, gave me a word. None of it came to pass. None of it. It's all good, too. All good stuff. I'm going to tell you what a true prophet does. You look in the scripture. Check me on this in the scripture. A true prophet is going to uncover things and confront things. That's what a true prophet is going to do. Is that not what we find in the Word? What was this word that we began with to Paul?
Oh, Paul, go to Jerusalem. Everything's going to be wonderful. You're going to win the whole city for Christ.
No, you go, you're going to die.
That's what it was.
Oh, praise God. But see, that kind of work turns people away. And we don't want to turn people away. We want the crowds. Is that right? Look at Christ. I'm getting well. Look at Christ. The scripture says a multitude was following. You know what he does? He turns around and calls the crowd. He said, you're following me for the loaves and fishes. Before, it's in more than one gospel, not this one, but other events. But in the sixth chapter of John, you get to the end of the chapter, and most of them turn around, disciples, he calls them disciples, and walk no more with him. And like what he said. And like what he said. Praise God. Well, and that's a test. If you're a minister, that's a test for you. If you're real or not. So many times I've been preaching to God. Well, I'm up here preaching to you. God's telling me, talking to me, okay? In the Spirit. I'm not going to say he's standing beside me telling me, but in the Spirit. And he'll tell me something. Oh, I can't say that. That's going to offend Brother So-and-so. I know what I'm talking about. There have been times there was a man, there's always the big tither in the church, or if your church is big enough, a few big tithers. And God tells you to say something, you say, uh-oh, if I say that, he may take his checkbook and leave. It's not funny. Praise God, you've got a decision to make. And I'll tell you what, I will stand before God for what I decide. We will. Now, praise God. To be sanctified means to be changed in the same image of His Son. To be sanctified means to be made free from what we were to what Christ is. And I want to clarify something here. And John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, which is Christ. Is that agreed? And the truth, Christ, shall make you free. I don't know why we're hearing said so much. It says make. Unless you've got a modern translation. It says, make you free. Verse 36, if the Son, Christ, therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. All the deliverance, and I'm not against deliverance. I want you to know that. I may have a different view of it, but I'm not against it. And it's not for me to tell somebody else how to do it, and I don't want them to tell me how to do it. I'll do it like God shows me. You do it like God shows you. If God's showing you, if God's showing me. I'm not against it. But all the deliverance in the world will not make us free if we're not changed into the image of Christ. You've wasted time. It's a band-aid on a serious problem. There's a great difference in being set free and being made free. You can set a vulture free from a cage, but he'll still be a vulture. To be made free is to be changed from what we were into what Christ is. Praise God. Christ never, and I appreciate that here it's being taught that if you don't repent, it's not going to do you any good. Right? Thank God that's being taught. Christ never intended for that statement to mean that he would make us free apart from coming into his eternal image. He never meant that. To be made free without being filled with Christ is to become empty and open to more demon possession. So that the last state of that person is worse than before. Matthew 12 and Luke 11. That's what it says. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Now John plainly states that this is his wish. He does not declare that that is the will of God. Am I quoting you? Am I reading it right? You can turn there. The Apostle Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 7:12. Similarly, it is I who speak, not the Lord. This is John's wish. And that's a nice wish, isn't it? But whether we are financially prosperous or not, you know, whether or not we have a healthy body profits us nothing in light of eternity. if our soul does not prosper. What does it mean for our soul to prosper? And I'll tell you, I like prosper. But Paul said, I've learned how to have plenty and how to not even have enough. Have you learned that? If God were to prosper you and you haven't learned how to have little, you'll squander what He prospers you with. I thank God for prosperous people that help us in our ministry. Up to this point, God has not called me to prosperity. Praise God. But He meets our needs. Oh, He meets our needs. Praise God. If our needs are in line, when I say needs, in line with the will of God, we read that He says that God gives seed to the sower, 2 Corinthians, He gives seed to the sower and bread for His table. But I'm telling you, God's not putting bread on the table of those that sow the seed maliciously, falsely, so forth. Why? Because He cannot deny Himself. As I mentioned yesterday morning, if things are not right, there's a reason. Find out what it is. Praise God. Find out what it is. Now, what does it mean for our soul to prosper? Listen to this. Doesn't mean we memorize more scripture. Doesn't mean that we put more in the offering. It doesn't mean that we have some glorious ministry and it enlarges. And if you've ever read George Miller Bristol, that had the great orphanage there that totally supported those 2,300 children and all the staff and everything. I mean, everything. Total support. No government. No nothing. They educated them, clothed them, fed them, everything. And so this George Miller had a principle, and that was total dependence upon God. But he said something. He said, God, if it pleases you to reduce this, I'm going to be as happy as if you enlarge it. That's a test, folks. Are we only happy with the Lord when He's given enlargement? Are we going to sull up and get mad and accuse God like the devil tried to get Job to do when things are on the decrease? Live for God, you'll see some decrease. I'm going to tell you this as a pastor. There's such a thing as a backdoor revival. You know what that means? People moving and leaving. I read a book one time that said how to keep everybody that in the church that comes in the front door. I said, oh my God. And please don't take this wrong. But not everybody that comes needs to be there. Oh Lord, help us. Praise God. I'm not the judge of that. God is. I'm getting too far on that. Come back here. The will of God is that we are transformed into the image of Christ. To be changed in the image of Christ, we must lose or deny our image, our identity, deny ourself. The world teaches you know yourself. The world's all about our identity. I'm going to tell you, in Christ, our identity means nothing. Everybody's trying to have an identity. Now, come on, you know what I'm talking about. They got to present something of themselves. God wants us to present Christ as He lives through us. Well, I'm going to identify with Christ. Where's that in the Scripture? Show me where it says we're to identify with Christ. I can identify with Christ and still be full of dead men's bones. Corruption and all kinds of things. And it brings the slander on the Lord. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let them deny their self. If we'll not deny ourself, Christ will say to us, I never knew you. Why will Christ say to this people that did many wonderful works in His name? It's because they are doing those wonderful works for the promotion of their self, not to honor Christ. I know what I'm talking about. And you see it. And even in a church setting, you see this one and that one vying for the top place. We have goats. And they'll jump on top of a big round bell. And they intend to be king of the round bell. They'll butt each other off. See, the same thing in church, just full of goats. Just full of goats. I told you, there's a pecking order in every church. Oh, may God be the top of the thing. Anyway, hallelujah. We cannot do both wills. In promoting ourselves, our own self, our own kingdom instead of the kingdom of God, we're doing our own will, not the will of God. According to Galatians 5:17, these two wills, our will, His will, are contrary or opposed the one to the other. They are self-willed, they deny the will of God, and therefore they deny Christ. They set themselves against Christ, and they're Antichrist. And let me tell you, Antichrist is in the church. The spirit of Antichrist. Anything that keeps people away from Christ is Antichrist. Anything that draws attention to ourselves instead of Christ is Antichrist. Isn't that true? I've told this, I don't know if you were here, but I was preaching at church at Fort Worth, real nice church, new church, big church. And the pastor did that talent show thing. Now, I'm sorry if I offend you by saying that. But you just had to be there. And so he gets up after they got all their little schedule they do, and they do the congregation songs, and he gets up and they take off, and then he makes an announcement. He says, "Now, Sister so-and-so, you get a song, and Brother so-and-so, you get a song," and they got, you know, whatever, several songs. Well, one of them, he says, "Sister so-and-so," she'd sit back like over there, get a song, and she says, "Oh, I just can't do it tonight." "But well, come on, we need you to say," "Oh, I just don't think I can." And he just keeps on pleading with her. And the people say, "Yes, yes, please sing." She's glorying. I mean, she's shining. This is her moment. She's feeding off of it. It's going to make her day, maybe her week. And finally, when he's just about, and they're just about to quit begging her, she says, "Okay, I will." What a show. Her show matched, her show behind the pulpit matched her show back there. I tell you what, that's Antichrist. Can we discern that? Where is the church's discernment? Where? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. If we will not obey Christ and deny ourselves, we deny God. Our opinion is not the will of God, nor is our wisdom. Christ will say, "Depart from me, you lawless ones." It's one thing God's after, and that's the image of His Son. In a people. In a people. Why would God expel someone from His presence forever and eternity? Because they were lawless and they did their own will instead of God's will. Man does his own will in order to promote his own self, his own interest, his own worth, his fame, his wealth, his kingdom. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Because we did what we wanted to do instead of doing what God told us to do. What did God tell us to do? Humble ourselves under His mighty hand, deny ourselves, and grow up into Christ in all things. And if we deny, if we won't deny ourselves, then we'll be denied in judgment. Hear that. If we do what we think is best for us and not what is best for the kingdom of God, which is the will of God, He will tell us to depart from Him. We become self-willed instead of God-willed. To do our will is Antichrist. We're other than Christ. We're opposite of Christ. We're opposed to Christ. It's that serious, folks. It's not, I told you yesterday morning, there's not 50 shades of gray. It's darkness or it's light. It's the will of God or it's not the will of God. Well, that's just too much trouble for me to go to. Well, I guess heaven's a little too much trouble for you then. We made it so easy. Haven't we made it so easy? Just come down here. Walk the aisle. If you don't walk down that aisle, they're playing the music. Everybody's got their head bowed so nobody can see. You won't be embarrassed. And if you don't do it, you might die on the way home. You know I've heard all that. Come on down here. And they come down and you shake the preacher's hand and he says a prayer and you repeat it after him and bless God, you're in heaven. It's a lie. It's a bald-faced lie. You know what? I don't even know what that means. But it is a lie. Praise God. Somebody's going to answer for it. Praise God. I believe if someone gets saved, you don't have to tell them they're saved. If they come to you, hey, I'm not sure I'm saved. Here's what we, in the jail, is a tall, young black man. And he had got put in solitary. And we pass out a book I wrote about overcoming. It's over there in those books. And he didn't realize, he took his things with him and he's very angry. He looks down there and there's that book. Well, we're sitting in there in the jail. We weren't in charge yet. We didn't have our own time. And I'm just going to say it. The Baptists were in charge. Okay. They were in charge. So, at the very beginning, this man says, I have something to say. He's sitting beside me. He came over and sat beside me. He said, I have something to say. He said, I was in solitary. I was angry. I looked down there at that book. I read it through two times. And he said, I got saved. Oh, my goodness. This one of the other men over there come unglued. He yelled at him and said, what do you mean you got saved? You were baptized. It was awful. I mean, he came down on him like a hammer. No, it was our baptism saved you. Praise God. Well, you know, I've baptized a lot of people I should not have baptized. I should have been like John the Baptist. You want to be baptized, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. They said, what do we need to do? And he started telling them what to do. Oh man, we can just find somebody to baptize. We'll get them through the water as quick as we can because we put another notch in our gun or another, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't this wonderful? Praise God. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, under His hand. Christ did the will of His Heavenly Father, but most do the will of their father, the devil. That's John 8. And it's in the will of the devil's done in church. John 8, what did James say? Where does all this fighting and killing come from among you? You lust and you cannot have, you're fighting each other right in the church. He said, I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and you do that which you've seen with your Father. You do the deeds or the will of your Father. He's talking about the devil. Christ is simply telling them they were doing the will of the Father, their Father, the devil. Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust or the will of your father you will do. We can know who our father is by whose will we're doing. To do your will is to do the will of the devil. Let me tell you that real plain. There's not 13,000 wills. He made it plain here. You're either doing the will of God or you're doing the will of the devil. And ourselves, this is self will send you to hell. You will never save self. You'll never reform self. Jesus said, deny self. Amen? You will never save the flesh, reform the flesh. He said, crucify it with its affections and lust. Now, if we're not doing the will of God, then He's not our Father. And we have only one Father. You can only have one Father. It's either God or the devil. The will of God is that Christ be formed in us, that we grow up into Christ in all things, and that's a process. It's a process. Can't get that done walking down the aisle shaking the preacher's hand. It can be a beginning. And that we're changed into the same image of Christ. There is no discipleship training that can grow anyone up into Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit alone. Jesus said in John 16:14, He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify or reveal me. He shall receive a mind and shall show it or reveal it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, He shall take a mind and shall show it or reveal it unto you. And I already covered that only the Holy Spirit can teach us Christ. Christ never spoke out of His own will. He never did anything out of His own will. He was always in all things led by and anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's, you can find that in Luke chapter 4. Colossians 2:10. You're complete in Him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. We're not complete in Christ unless we're coming into the full measure of the image of Christ in all things. Now, I've always seen for a long time that we're complete in Christ. Everything we need to be, we're complete in Christ. But what do we mean complete in Christ? It's in His image. In His image. We have to be complete in His image. Why do we run what God says through the filter of our opinions or someone else's opinion? Well, that's not what my daddy said. It's impossible to only do part of the will of God. It's impossible. Because the part we refuse to do will cancel out the part of God's will we've done. King Saul is an example of that principle. Isn't he? He only did part of the will of God with the Amalekites. He lost his kingdom over it. Lost his life. We cannot partially be changed in the image of Christ, although it's a process. You can't pick and choose what parts of Christ you want to, you know, emulate. We're not imitating Christ. We're not emulating Him. We're not copying Him. That won't work. And you see it everywhere, and it's as phony as it can be. There's a Christian bookstore near us, and you go in there, and the owner, oh my God, this is so sappy, it makes me sick. I can't even do what he does. Okay, I better shut up. But what I'm saying is, he's trying to act like Christ, and it's as phony as it can be, and everybody knows it. Oh, glory to God. We had time to go into what the image of Christ looks like. But I'll tell you one thing it is. It's humility. It's brokenness. It's a broken and contrite spirit. We cannot be partially changed. In some areas, allowing God's will in Christ's image. In other areas, retaining our will, our image. We must quit projecting our image. Kind of. You know, altered a little bit, tweaked a little bit to look kind of like Christ. You cannot be like Christ of ourselves. It'll never happen. The will of God, and you know that's what bothers some people. They're not going to do that. If they can't be in charge, they're not going to be part of it. The will of God cannot be divided. The image of Christ cannot be divided. With us being selective in what we do or don't do. The will of God's not a mixture of His will and our will. The will of God is clean. It's not a mixture. Well, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost starts working in you and you're beholding Christ and you get out of line, He'll let you know. And then you have a choice to repent and correct that or continue on. Because you like it or it's making you money or it's whatever it's doing. You know and I know, we have been faced, folks, with decisions in our lives that we knew, if I do this, I'm out of the will of God. But perhaps it meant losing a friend or family member. Or perhaps it meant losing your job. And you've got to make a decision. I just don't think God expects that of me. Well, tell that to Jesus who went to the cross for you. Oh, but Jesus took it all, so I don't have to take any of it. There's an old song, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for you and there's a cross for me. That's a very good doctrine in that song. Praise God. Satan partially quoted the word of God or the will of God. The will of God and the word of God are the same. And Christ is the word of God. See how all this comes together? He is the word. John 1. He partially quoted to Eve in the garden and to Christ in the wilderness. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It's the will of God to make all things work together for the good of those who love Him and those that He's called to fulfill His purpose. People love that verse. It's in all the little promise boxes. But the next verse is not in there. I guarantee it's not.
He's going to work it all for my good. I'm going through a terrible thing. He's going to work it for my good. I lost my job. He's going to give me a better job. No, you may not have a job. The motor blew up my truck. He's going to give me a new truck. No, you may be walking. That's not what it means. It's work together for good to them that love God. There are two qualifications which must be met before the will of God or the image of Christ can be activated in a person's life or progress in a person's life. Number one, that the person must love God. And number two, they must be called by God to fulfill His purpose. It says, them that love God. Here's the problem. People tend to decide for themselves what it means to love God. And they tend to decide of themselves what God's purpose is for them in this life. Eternal life or the life hereafter is not so much open to personal interpretations. You try to correct someone, see what you get. People naturally choose. You know, this almost makes... a man asked me a question one time. I answered him. I felt like God gave me an answer. He doubled up his fist. In my yard. I said, that bothered me. And I knew what he could do. Because he was in his 80s then. Him and his brother-in-law got in a fight in their garden. Not hitting each other 2x4s. Things like that. I thought, whoa, this man... He may be old, but he's mean. Well, later on, his dear wife died. He's looking for a woman, or they're looking for him, actually. Oh, my goodness. His driveway is full of these women after him. They thought he had money. He's in his 80s. He finally settled on one. It was fun to watch. I mean, well, it's, I don't know, but anyway. Well, who's he going to end up with? Well, he made his choice. And he came to me and said, now, Brother Pinson, he said, is it all right if she moves in and lives in my house? We won't sleep together. When he died, he was in bed with her, but anyway. I've told this before. Some people came up to me afterwards and had some words for me. They didn't agree. But this is what God told me. You owe him no answer. You owe him no answer. Are you hearing me? You don't have to answer everybody. Well, they need to know. No, you don't have to answer everybody. Jesus, look, when they were going to crown him king, he disappeared. He got out of there. You don't have to answer everybody. You don't have to let them. Well, I said, well, you just do what you feel that's right. That's all I'm going to say to him. Praise God. Well, so not everyone, not very many like to be corrected. Are told. People naturally choose to believe that loving God is an emotion, and that telling God or singing to God that they love Him fulfills their obligation of love to God. It's a feeling. But Christ Himself has defined what it means to love Him. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. John 14. Now the second part, the call according to His purpose. The call. The call. A lot of people have been called, but they're not the call. Let us remember that Christ said many are called, but few are chosen. Here's another problem. People tend to decide for themselves what it means to be the call. And then they ignore what the purpose of God might mean. The call of God is not the same as being solicited or called of men. It's like when we persuade people, when I was a boy that in the little Assembly of God church I grew up in, they had some young guys come from the nearby Bible school near us, and he preached on the coming of the Lord. Well, the other guy was at the back, and we didn't know this, and he got about, they had it all worked out, choreographed, planned, and he got to that point, and they flipped the lights off, and he blew the trumpet. Oh, my Lord Jesus. The altar was full. Now, let me ask you, did the Holy Spirit do that, or did man do that? If you're in charge of worship and you work people up, is that you or is that God? I learned a long time ago the Holy Spirit's big enough to do what He wants to do. Amen. I mean that. I've seen the Holy Spirit move. And the results. And I've seen people work.
helped other people and seen the results of that. And it can get pretty wild. The call of God is not the same as being solicited. We err when we go out without being led by the Holy Spirit and randomly select people to join. Philip did not just randomly pick out someone on that road from Jerusalem to Gaza, you know, after the great revival in Samaria. God told him to go there. He waited for the Holy Spirit to tell him to go and join a certain chariot. What is God's purpose? What does it mean to be called to God's purpose? Most people think it's a call to simply gather together as some sort of a club called a church to work for the good of that club, that church, that ministry, and to recruit new members for it. Others think that this is a call to a better life now on this earth, a successful, more comfortable life, and that the purpose and will of God is for us to prosper and be in health, and that the purpose of God is for us to live an overcoming life, translated overcoming life's challenges, etc. Many are taught that the purpose of God is to put springs on our buggy so our ride will be more comfortable. Take note that it's God's purpose, not our purpose, that we are called to. If people would also read the next verse, perhaps they could learn what the will of God is for them that love Him and who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29, and for whom God did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Being conformed to the image of Christ is the ultimate and eternal will of God for every one of us that are called. And everything will in time line up with, cooperate with, and support this eternal will of God, or it will burn with a fervent heat. You remember the two oldest sons of Moses, and they took strange fire in their censers. And fire came down out of heaven and burnt them up. It's interesting that Elijah's sacrifice on Mount Carmel brought down fire from heaven to bring glory to God and turn the nation back to God. God knows how to send fire down. This self-determined act by these two young priests also brought down fire from heaven to bring glory to God and caused that nation to fear God. God's going, and you see the same thing in Acts where Ananias and Sapphira show up. You see the same thing. Most churches don't have enough power of God in them, though, that anybody's going to drop dead unless they just happen to be old or sick or something. You talk about disrupting the service, somebody dying in the church service, it's over with. Go home. The fire on Mount Carmel honored Elijah's obedience, while the fire upon these two young priests brought judgment upon them for their disobedience. Now Moses called the death of these two sons of Aaron the burning which the Lord has kindled. Everything that's not according to the command or the will of God, the image of Christ, will burn with a fervent heat that God's going to kindle. 1 Corinthians 3:13 tells us, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. I'm telling you, that's coming. Everything I've ever preached, every song I've ever sang, every person I've ever prayed for is going to be tried by fire. Everything I've built, everything is going to be tried by fire. I want us to understand this morning that everything you've done in the name of Jesus is going to be tested by fire. No getting out of that. Our work must always be centered upon the person and the image of Christ, or it will burn up. These two young men were drawing attention to themselves away from Christ. And Christ was in the wilderness with the people of Israel. There's a lot of strange fire being showcased in religious meetings. And its purpose is to bring glory to man. This is that purpose of these two young priests. My wife was just looking on the internet at this conference they're having somewhere, and they showed a picture of the people singing, and oh my God, good. Is that a mistake? It looked like rock singers at a rock concert. And the lights and all this kind of the smoke and the stuff they do. I call that strange fire. But listen, you can have strange fire without all that. Maybe you don't have the money to. And you can still put strange fire out there, folks. Anytime we touch the ark to steady it, we think it's going down, and we touch it, we're in trouble. It's got to be God. We offer ourselves for God to speak through, to work through. It's got to be God. Do not touch the ark, the presence of God. It's a serious warning, folks. Maybe everything you've done so far has taught you how to touch the ark, how to offer strange fire. Repent of it. It's not that God doesn't want to work through you, but it's got to be His way. It's got to be Him through you. His image being seen, not ours. Praise God. I'm very serious about that. And I believe God wants everyone else to be jealous over Him. This scripture goes on to say that the works which are not according to the will of God or in the image of Christ will be burned, and those who did those works shall suffer loss. Strange fire may feel good and look good to the carnal Christian who lacks discernment. You go some places, and whoever the leader is, pastor or whatever, conference, and you wonder, does that leader have any discernment? Or is he just trying to make that thing go? Keep it together. Keep everybody happy. Praise God. Everything done in the flesh or of self is of no value to God, for there is no life in it. The flesh, the soul, the self-life counts for nothing. Instead, it's an abomination to God. Everything we thought we did for Christ that He did not do through us will be burned up. And no flesh should glory in His presence. That God has apprehended a people for the purpose of being conformed to the image of His Son. And that all is the will of God concerning those He foreknew and predestined. If God does not know us, and if God has not predestined us, then where does that leave us? The good that God will make all things work together for is not something to be consumed upon our flesh. James 4:3. The good that God will make all things work together has one purpose. And to those who are called according to His purpose. And that purpose is plainly stated here. God also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's all God's working for. And if what we're doing doesn't lead to that, we're out of order. That's pretty strong, but it's the truth. I just read it to you. This being conformed to God's Son is the only purpose and will of God. And we need to stop making the purpose of God to be something for our pleasure and our benefit or the people. I want to tell you, if we'll come together and seek first the kingdom of God, His government, and His righteousness, Christ, He'll come and whatever we need, we'll get. Colossians 1:16, for by Him we're all Christ, we're all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ. In where? In Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Romans 11:36, for of Him, Christ, and through Him, and to Him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. I'm going to close with this, but I think the only one that has ever ascended to the throne in heaven is Christ. No one else. The only one that God ever said He was well pleased with is Christ, His Son. And the only ones that will ever enter the kingdom of heaven is those who are in the image of this Son, whom He says, I'm well pleased in. Can't get in any other way. Can't get in on our works, our profession of faith. Praise God. Lord, we thank You. Thank You for these dear people, Lord. Your people. Your saints who are here this morning. I thank You, Father. People who love You.
God, you're trying to talk to us. Maybe we all need to make some adjustments, and we probably do. I do constantly. That we come into the will of God, to the image of Christ. Praise God. I just challenge you right now to take inventory of yourself. Am I? Ask yourself, am I coming into the image of Christ? And please, not your opinion of that. And really, I don't even know if we can trust ourselves. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. I let God judge me. So perhaps we need to say, Lord, search me. Show me, as the song says, if there be any wicked way in me. And anything that's not in the image of Christ, the person of Christ, is wicked. It's Antichrist. We really need to do that. That sweet, broken, and contrite spirit. That wonderful humbling ourselves under His mighty hand. It's not too late, folks. It's not too late to change courses and follow Christ. Don't use religion for your personal gain in any way, in any way. This is not about us getting what we want or what we even need. It's about Christ getting what He wants. That's what it's about. If we get what we want, He will never get what He wants. Because our wants are so totally below His. The Scripture says so. Oh, to surrender to Him. To surrender to Him. To submit to Him. With all our heart. God, I don't know. You know, it's a wonderful place to come to where we can admit, I don't know what to do. And I don't know how to do this. Well, great. It's about time we got there. And turn to Him. And say, oh God, speak to me. Show me. Lead me. By your Holy Spirit. Not by what I saw on YouTube. Or Facebook. Or read in a book. Or somebody trained me to do. If I will submit ourselves to Christ, if we'll do that, He will gladly work in us and through us by His Spirit. But don't think that's always going to make you shine or me shine. Sometimes it's going to be in humility. Paul said, I came to you with much fear and trembling. He didn't come in like gangbusters. The great and mighty Apostle Paul has now arrived. And the drum rolls. No. If we promote ourselves and stick ourselves out there in our opinions and our will, God cannot use us. That's not to say that we wouldn't have a following. That's not to say that. So, well, what do I do with all this that I've built up? Let it go. It's going to burn anyway. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I could cast something out of you or me, I'd cast self out. Mm-hmm. And it ends a lot of problems. I'd cast that flesh out. And it ends a lot of problems. That's not God's way. His way is that we learn to overcome it. Your problem, it's not the devil. It's you. It's me. Praise God. Will you stand with me? We bless you, Lord. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't really know how to end this, but if you want prayer, if you'll come and stand, we'll pray for you. And if you want to turn around where you're sitting and pray. One time here, it's been a few camps back. I told the folks, I think it's a night one because of the way I said, if you're not going to pray, please go. And I wasn't being mean about that or ugly. But I didn't want, you know, this is a house of God. This is a house of God. And I'm going to say something here. I'm seeing a lot of irreverence in this place. I'm seeing a lot of it. That's all I'm going to say. But if you, and we love you, and Merrill loves you, the staff loves you, hope you love, we love each other, the speakers love you. That's why we're here. You know, it's, I have a church. I'm not at my church this morning to be here. And sometimes that grieves me, because I want to be with the people God's given me. But what I told them, if they didn't want to stay and pray, please leave. And that lady got me. Oh no, she's upset. You're mean. You're hateful. She got me told. Well, I tell you what, I care more about what God thinks than she thinks or anybody else. Let us reverence the house of God. I said, let us reverence the house of God. I remember growing up, if there was a message in tongues, it was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. And people don't even, it's just like, kids playing games on their phones, some adults. And I have to be careful now, because my phone has a Bible on it, you know, and you realize a lot of people are doing that now. That's okay. But they're whispering and talking and cutting up. And, oh, where is the reverence, folks? Praise God. Well, that's enough of that. If you want prayer, if you'll come, we'll pray for you. If you want to go. And if you don't, you don't have to leave. Just please sit down and be, you know, reverent till we're finished, if you'll do that. And I believe God will be pleased. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. If you want prayer, if you'll come, we'll pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask you to go with us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.